Hey, welcome to the Healthy Postnatal Body Podcast with your postnatal expert, Peter Lapp. That, as always, will be me. Today, I am talking scoliosis and pregnancy. After getting an email from somebody who asked, said that she was planning having a baby and she was concerned about the sorts of pain that might arise since she has a moderate amount of spinal curvature scoliosis. And she asked what kind of stretches and workouts they should be doing, should focus on during and after birthing and all that sort of stuff. And I thought, you know what, I haven't touched scoliosis yet. I haven't touched on that yet. So that's what we're going to do, right? Increased risk of the curve getting worse. Is that a thing? Back pain, will there really be more back pain in scoliosis when you have scoliosis during pregnancy? And more importantly, what sort of things should you be doing to help prevent anything, if anything at all? Because, you know, it might just be a waste of the next half hour. You know how these things often go. Anyways, here we go. So welcome again to the podcast, the Healthy Postnatal Body Podcast. This is the podcast for the 19th of November, 2023. And I'm here with Dinky Buddy and Bob, Bob the cat. If you hear any snoring in the background, that's Kitty, Dinky. She has started to make a lot of noise. And this is, believe it or not, I am in my 12th attempt of doing an intro because she keeps snoring. So I'm giving up. If she keeps snoring, she keeps snoring. That's what you hear in the background. Anyways, I hope you're well. I hope you're well. It's only a month and a bit until Christmas. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? I've had some wonderful guests on in the past few weeks, but it's time that I do one by myself again. I've got some other guests lined up and I've got some requests in. But if you have anything, anyone in particular you'd like me to interview or a subject you'd like me to touch on, peter@healthypostnatalbody.com is obviously who to email. Right, you don't need to be a member of HPMB. The question I'm answering today, that I of course already answered via email as well, is just from a listener who's not a member, and that is completely cool. I love getting emails. So if you have any questions at all, peter@healthypostnatalbody.com. That's where you send your little thing to. Obviously, you know, like and subscribe to the podcast if you can. It does help, you know, when you give it five little stars and all that sort of stuff, Amazon and Spotify like it a hell of a lot better. I'm not sure how that pushing it out works, but you know, apparently it works. That's what they tell me. That's what I kind of see in the numbers whenever I pay a little bit of attention to the numbers. What am I doing? Scoliosis. Curvature of the spine, right? So I had an email from somebody that I will read out and that said, Hi Peter. I listened to a podcast episode where you're talking about ways to get your body back after giving birth. So I'm planning on having a baby and I'm concerned about the sorts of pain that might arise since I have a moderate amount of spinal curvature scoliosis. What sort of stretches and workouts should I focus on? Should I focus on during and after birthing? Thanks in advance. Blah, blah, blah. I never read the names out. Right? So I'll go through a couple of things first. Does pregnancy increase the curve progression? So can it make your curve worse? Can it make your scoliosis worse? That's a question you might have if you're a woman with scoliosis wanting to get pregnant. Now, scoliosis is mainly something that affects women, right? So the first issue we come across, of course, a lot is, as with all women's health, it seems to be a weekly sort of thing, is that there's very little solid research done into this, right? Because I try to run an evidence-based thing, yeah, it would help. It would help if there was a bit more research done into this. But I'm fairly sure it'll catch up. Anyways, as I banged my head into the thing, into the microphone, That's how my day is going. I'm on take 15 of this, by the way. Genuinely now. I'm on take 15. Believe it or not, this is one of those that I've actually had to restart a lot due to noise and interference and my own lack of mental clarity today. So let's start here. Can it make the curve worse? In short, no. There's very little to say that it will. There are a couple of articles, a couple of studies that were done into this from a long time ago, because the last review I could find was from 2011, so that's the best part of 12 years ago, right? And that basically said, okay, the studies weren't particularly good. They're not particularly large, and you know, there was very little evidence anyways that there was any issue with any sort of curve progression getting worse. So one of the studies came up with saying that among patients who had prior aortic treatment, there's some evidence to suggest women experiencing one or more pregnancies had a higher risk of curve progression compared to never pregnant women. And then, you know, the strength of evidence for this conclusion is low. And when I say low, I mean ridiculously low. I mean, the confidence interval for this was like 35, something like that. So between 1.8 and, yeah, from 1.8 and 35.8. So, you know, that's just not great. We can't really do much with that. And that makes sense, right? Because it's, you know, scoliosis isn't caused by, to be fair, most cases of scoliosis are idiopathic, so we don't know what causes them, but it's not caused by pregnancy. So there is very little reason to expect your scoliosis would get worse just because you fall pregnant. And I don't know, the core doesn't support things as well as it used to, or, you know, the center of gravity of the body and all that sort of stuff shifts a little bit because it's not a permanent condition. And let's be honest, 6 months isn't, I know you're pregnant for 9 months, but 6 months of that is when the belly is clearly bigger than in the first few months. There's very little to suggest that within 6 months that would be going wrong to the extent to put pressure on the spine to the extent that your scoliosis would get a lot worse, right? So it's there's nothing there to worry about. That's kind of what I'm saying, right? That's where it comes from. So the next question, and this is the main question, the lady who emailed in asked about, what kind of pain can I expect? Now, and this, of course, very much depends on how severe your scoliosis is, right? So this is a how long is a piece of string sort of situation. Basically, what we find with people with scoliosis, when you're pregnant, there isn't, it's not that much more intense than any normal pregnancy. Well, I've come across in people with scoliosis, and this is very much more anecdotal than, because again, there aren't any good studies in this at all, into this at all. But I can only look at this from like a biomechanical point of view. Most people that complain about extra back pain during pregnancy with scoliosis either already had back pain, or are not doing anything to prevent the back pain. So they're not exercising, right? I can't think of a single reason, again, why if you don't already have back pain, why your back pain should be significantly worse just because you have a bit of scoliosis, moderate scoliosis, especially if you're walking around with quite a decent amount of scoliosis, quite a severe scoliosis, and you're already taking painkillers, then it's not going to get more comfortable during pregnancy, right? But there is not a single study out there that showed that there was an increased risk of back pain that I could find, at least. You know, let me put a caveat in there. So it's much more likely, as I responded to this lady, is it's much more likely that the people who had scoliosis and back pain during pregnancy would have had that back pain anyways. It's not like the pregnancy caused the caused the back pain, right? So as I say to everybody, and everybody can get back pain during pregnancy. Pregnancy is not particularly comfortable for a lot of people. You're not at higher risk of back pain when you have scoliosis. I found nothing, and there's some you have the CLEAR Institute. There's one or two studies where I come across that. Just for everybody, Scoliosis Reduction Center, who of course come at an from a certain angle, so there's a bit of bias. Is they say that the back pain can increase, that which implies, of course, that there's a certain amount of back pain to begin with, right? Some people say that, again, this is anecdotal. Some people say they don't have an increase in scoliosis-related pains, and other people say that it intensifies during pregnancy. And then what the scoliosis reduction guys are saying is, in general, a woman with scoliosis is at higher risk for lower back pain, but in most pregnancies, scoliosis and not lower back pain is a factor. Okay, there are two statements there. First of all, a woman with scoliosis is at higher risk for lower back pain. There's no study that backs that up, right? Women during pregnancy tend to get more back pain anyways, and there's nothing to suggest that women who have scoliosis are at higher risk than women who do not have scoliosis to get increased back pain during pregnancy. There's nothing I could find that comes even close to backing that up. There is one study from one Israeli study, funnily enough, that is a very small study that said increased back pain after a screw operation to treat scoliosis. That's the women who fall pregnant after that, but it's a tiny study. It's not very good. Not particularly reliable, and even they found that they're confident their coincidence. They just didn't track everything, so their confidence was very low in the results of that study. They basically came out saying, "We need more money for research," which is how all these things start, right? So they should have been given more money for research, but I don't think that actually went anywhere. And it makes sense if you're. Pregnancy is traumatic on the body, but pregnancy is not for most people, right? 99% of people, it is not a disabling sort of experience. And therefore, it is the back pain that you're likely to get is back pain you would have had anyways. And that makes it normal to treat back pain, right? That makes it comfortable and easy to treat back pain. So what I tell all my clients to do, regardless of whether they have scoliosis or not, but you know, if you have scoliosis, like I responded to this lady, is, you know, anybody in an ideal world, you keep exercising regularly during pregnancy. And now we come across stuff that some of you will have heard me say a million times. You focus on the glutes, and you do it by doing squats, resistance band, glute kicks, step ups, and all that sort of stuff. Because the glutes are often the source of the problems. And I keep coming back to this. Lower back pain in pregnancy is hardly ever caused by the lower back. And postpartum as well. It's hardly ever caused by the lower back. It is inevitably the glutes or the surrounding areas around the lower back. That's the problem. So posture. But quite often during pregnancy, focusing on the glutes really helps. Now, the benefits of doing squats is that they will also make labor a lot easier. A lot of my prenatal clients tell me that being able to squat during the labor process or whilst they were waiting to actually give birth really helps, helped a lot. For the core, whilst you're pregnant, I always recommend things like core presses, palof presses, palof presses, wood choppers, all that sort of stuff. All core exercises, obviously a good idea, but those things you can do during your final trimester. So that's what I always recommend. And it is just about keeping your core as active as possible. As I've said before, diastasis recti is a given. You're going to get that during pregnancy. You need to make space for the baby. But if you can make keep your muscles strong and active and keep working them, then you're going to support, especially in this case, your lower back a tremendous amount. And that will be a huge, huge help. Because that prevents back pain. One of the leading causes of back pain isn't pregnancy. It isn't scoliosis. It isn't poor ergonomically designed chairs or the chair being the wrong height or sitting behind a desk in a funny way. It is not being active enough. That is the leading cause of back pain. And by not being active enough, I don't just mean moving. I'm also talking about not exercising, not training the surrounding muscles, not strength training the surrounding muscles enough. It's not just enough to get up away from your desk every hour for a 4 or 5 minute walk to ease the back off a little bit. That helps, right? Being sedentary really, really doesn't help your lower back pain. But just doing the right exercises to help the surrounding muscles get stronger or stay strong or whatever you want to do, whatever your goal is the leading way to prevent back pain. So whether you have scoliosis or not, it seems to be during pregnancy, to sum that 15 minute bit up, seems to be completely irrelevant when it comes to pregnancy. There is no link that I could find. Right? And like I said, it's 15, 20 minutes of your time wasted. There's no evidence that I could find of pregnancy and scoliosis being a problem. I even saw a website that said infertility issues when you have scoliosis. That is simply not the way that works. That makes no sense whatsoever. Just because you have a curve in your spine doesn't mean that your uterus won't do what it's supposed to do, right? That makes very, very, very little sense at all. You don't have to do special stretches. You don't have to do special workouts during your pregnancy when you have scoliosis. You can just do your normal thing or do the normal thing. That is completely fine. Right. Where else are we? Right, so we're, 18 minutes into this thing? I'll quickly touch on something else because I had an email from somebody who said, hey, I'm looking for a personal trainer. And this is on my little PT bit. Person come to the house or is available locally in the area and who could support me with an exercise program for people with reduced mobility, in this case, a prolapsed disc and stroke recovery. Chronic fatigue with medical knowledge of physiotherapy knowledge. They also state that Pilates is inaccessible, only chair yoga works. Right. And that was someone who emailed, and don't get me wrong, in my town in Edinburgh, I am a fairly well established personal trainer with some credentials and all that sort of stuff. And there's a ton of information on the old website and all that sort of thing. But this kind of then becomes the importance of knowing when to stay in your lane as a PT. This person has so many health issues that they should not be emailing me. Right, and this is not their fault. This is very much the health service in the UK's fault. When you have these issues, you need to deal with a specialized physio. Stroke recovery isn't something you just go to a normal personal trainer with. It really isn't. One of my clients had a TIA, so mini stroke, so to speak. You know, transischemic attack. And that is fine. That is pretty much, if you know what you're looking out for, basically when someone has a stroke, all you can do is phone the ambulance. There's not that much you can do. But you have to kind of know what you're out for. But when it comes to stroke recovery stuff, that is a specialized field of exercise. That is very much not something you can walk into a David Lloyd or a Pure Gym or start emailing around town going, can you help, to loads of PTs? Because the issue with that is that not so much that none of the personal trainers can do it, it's that you might well get a response from somebody who is not aware they can't do it. Let me put it that way. Or who's really stuck up for clients. Who's really stuck for clients and would rather do some sessions and all that sort of stuff and can pick up the knowledge online. There's a lot of information about a lot of things online. I know, for instance, the Healthy Postnatal Body website has healthypostnatalbody.com. The program, there's about 70 personal trainers signed up to that. Right? About 70 that are personal trainers and that are just in the field. I'm not sure whether they've given birth reason or they're just, but a lot of them I get emails from saying, can you explain how this works? Can you explain how that works? And I love those conversations, don't get me wrong, and I'm delighted that they're members. And you know what? If you want to sign up for 3 months and just gain a bit of knowledge, then that's awesome. The problem is we're going to probably find that out of those 70, and that's current, that are currently members. I think there have been a few hundred over the course of the past few years, because we're almost coming up to 5 years of that I have HPMB, that the HPMB website is up. Not everybody is as scrupulous as everybody else. Let me put it that way. And you're going to find that some people just copy the information without knowing why. And the why matters. I spoke about this before, you know. The exercises, from a personal trainer's point of view, the exercises might all be the same. Someone can take you through the same set of exercises as I do on the Healthy Postnatal Body website. But knowing why you do certain things is what makes the difference between a good personal trainer that you can work with one-on-one and someone that is kind of just going through the paces, as Dinky snores in the background. I told you this would happen. So, you know, that's kind of it. We want to make sure that your personal trainer understands the why of why we're doing certain things, so that adjustments can be made in a sensible way. So if I work with somebody with diastasis recti and they find that they can do certain exercises are fine and certain exercises not so much, or they get very little benefit from certain exercises, that they don't feel them right, that they can't do them or whatever, then I can easily make adjustments. That takes about 2 minutes to do, right? It doesn't take long. If you don't know why we're working certain muscles in a certain order when you do a postpartum program, then you either might well push through, or you don't know what to replace the exercises with. Does that make any sense, right? And that's kind of the difference between working with a specialist that does this sort of stuff all the time and someone who has information but doesn't know why certain things have to be done a certain way, right? So I always say it's a difference between a thinking personal trainer and someone who just goes with the, yeah, this is the list of exercises we're doing today, rather than focusing on the personal element of personal training. And this is kind of where a while ago I touched on this before. You know, Pink, the singer, had a wonderful personal trainer, has a really good personal trainer she worked with, and they then incorporated postpartum, they incorporated the someone else's postpartum program. They did the Mutu program. They incorporated those exercises into Pink's personal postpartum routine, and Pink says it's wonderful and it really, really works. The issue with that a little bit is that unless your personal trainer knows why Wendy, who built the Mutu system, put that in place in the way that she did, you don't really get what you're doing. And I'm not saying that Pink's personal trainer didn't know why, but I'm guessing if you copy someone else's personal training program to work with your clients, that you don't really know what you're doing with regards to that one element of it. Right? Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that it's okay to have a skills gap that you just don't know. But it's much better to go, actually, I just don't know, work with somebody else, rather than copy information online or copy somebody else's program, and to just say, so we will just do this and we will be okay. Right? At least sit down with the person who designed the program, or have a phone call, have a Zoom call. And I have them all the time with PTs. Just get in touch. Hey, Pete, why are you doing this? I love explaining stuff. It's what I do. Don't charge for it. Right? If you're already a member of HPMB, I don't care why you're a member. You can copy the entire program. I genuinely don't mind. I would, however, like, if you have a question, you ask the question rather than guessing your way through it. Right? HPMB and healthypostnatalbody.com and this podcast is mainly meant for education purposes. This is not a money-making exercise. I wish it was. Right? Just ask the questions and know when to stay in your lane. So as I responded to this person, I have some slots available, but I think you're probably better off doing something for people recovering from strokes and all that sort of stuff first. So get in touch with a specialist, right? That it just makes sense. I know what my skills gap is. And I pretty much draw the line at that type of rehab, because that's not what I spent the last 10 years learning about. And even a 2-week course, and you know, I've had people before that say, yeah, you can learn all you need to know about diastasis recti in 2 days and come do a 2-day course and all that sort of stuff. I'm not convinced. I think you're better off working with a specialist. You can gain some knowledge, but you can't learn everything you need to learn in that shorter space of time. At least I can't, not to the level that I'm confident of working with people that need some guided expertise. So stay in your lane, personal trainers. Ask questions if you don't have them. And people looking for personal trainers, looking for programs, just try to go with a specialist. Try to go with an expert. Try to go with somebody who really knows what they're talking about when it comes to that sort of stuff. And with regards to scoliosis, don't worry about it. It's fine. As 9 out of 10 times, pregnancy is scary, but it's not necessarily scary from that perspective. Right, Peter at healthypostnatalbody.com, because I've been waffling for a solid 5, 10, 15 minutes now. Peter at healthypostnatalbody.com. If you have any questions, any comments, thank God we're back to doing the interviews again next week. I think we might have an In the Vault next week. And after that, we have interviews again so that, you know, smarter people than myself will come back on the podcast. Like I said, leave a little review if you can. Not based on this one, of course, based on the old ones that were good. Here's a new bit of music. You take care of yourself. See you next week. Bye now. Get on your feet, this side.
lights to see. Roll.